I will be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 and 14, from the New International Version. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there.
Thank you. I don't mind taking a few extra minutes to take care of technology things because this is not going to be a very long meditation. And you might have to get out of church early. Oh, that might be a bad thing for you, huh? Throw your schedule off. What I was trying to say is thank you, Carolyn, and also Teresa, for choosing the songs that you chose today, referring to children. We are all children. We are all learning. I'm learning how to use this thing, and thank goodness there are other people that know how to do it. And so today's service is all about children and blessing children, and also, along with that, about being teachers and teaching children and teaching others. And so I hope you'll take this short meditation with a grain of salt, but also with understanding that that's where my focus is at. So today's scripture is from several places, and Judy will read two of very similar scriptures from Mark and Luke a little bit later. But in Matthew, I want to do a little bit of background before I talk specifically about Matthew 19. Chapters 18 and 19 in Matthew are pretty long chapters dealing with family and youth and our place in the kingdom of heaven and how we relate to one another and as family members. When I began looking for references for today, I used my lovely little Bible software on my laptop and was surprised to see how many references there are to just the word children. There's a lot of them, starting in Genesis all the way through Revelation. Children are mentioned repeatedly. And that's kind of interesting because when we look at the ancient culture of the Jews or the Middle East, it was the father who decided whether or not a child would be accepted into the family and whether they actually belonged in the family. And that child remained subject to the father throughout his life, or to the father's authority, even as an adult. And so that was kind of interesting to see all these references to children, and yet children really claimed only a small minority status in their culture. Now, in this particular passage, Matthew uses the word little children. And when we, as Americans, think of little children, we probably think of Jacoby and Nolan and Piper, who's not here, but also Emma and Andrew. We think of them as little children. But in that culture, little children were also slaves, shepherds, people who were living on the margins of society. So, going back then, for a little more background, Matthew 18, 1 through 10, gives us a reference to how Matthew used that term, little people. And in particular, he says, starting with verse 3, Matthew writes that Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Whoever takes the position of being a slave, whoever takes the position of being a shepherd, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We don't often think in those terms, even in our American democratic society. So children were viewed as being inferior. They had no rights. They were never held up as a model for anything such as wisdom, counsel, strength, or anything like that. And yet, Jesus calls attention to a child in a little bit later. In verses 1 through 10, then, he talks about if a child come. I had a verse that I wanted to use, and now I can't find it. Where he actually pulls a child into, verse 2, he calls a little child. So, Jacoby, can you stand up on the bench? It's okay this time. Stand up on the bench. Nope, okay, Emma or Andrew, would you stand up on the bench? Stand up, just real quick, it's okay. Stand up. So Jesus calls a little child into the middle of them. And that's when he says, unless you become like these little children, you will not be great in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you. This is an upside down picture of the kingdom of heaven. We are called to give up our self-importance. We are called to give up our self-reliance. We are called to give up our independence and to trust in God, to be trusting and helpless and small and young like the children in our midst. We are called to live together by abandoning our search for our own status. And we're called to accept our place in the family of God that's already been given to us as small children, people without status, people without merit. Now, in Matthew 19, Matthew uses the word little children a little differently. Here, he's actually showing concern for the children. And when we read Matthew 19, in verse 13, people were all excited. They wanted to bring their children to Jesus. They wanted their kids to know this man of miracles and great things. But the disciples rebuked them. One commentary that I read said they might even have shoved the children away. Can you imagine pushing them? Get out of here. We don't need you here. It's only for adults. Well, in contrast to the contemporary Jewish and pagan religious life at that time, our Christian call and is that our community is to encourage participation of the whole family, including children. So this act of bringing children to Jesus was objected to by his disciples, and Jesus instead says that children are to be our models of how we're to live and how we are to receive the kingdom of God. So how many of you are parents? How many of you are grandparents? Keep your hands up. Okay, how many of your aunts or uncles? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you, when you give a gift to a child, see that look of excitement on their face? What does that bring to your mind? What do you see when you give a gift to a child? What? Joy. What else? Excitement, okay? Pardon? Okay. So we see all these really great positive gifts, or gifts to us, because that's when we give a gift, we receive a gift back, don't we? We see the child's joy. We see their excitement. And we maybe see looks of surprise. We might even once in a while see looks of like, don't know what that is. But that's what the kingdom of God is like and how we are to receive the kingdom of God. We are to receive the kingdom of God with joy, happiness, looks of surprise, and wonder. Most of the time when children received a gift, they are instantly absorbed with it, right? They just kind of, right there, they want to play with it. They want to play, put the whole puzzle together, or they want to play the game. Well, that's kind of how we're supposed to be in the kingdom of God, too. We're supposed to be absorbed by the kingdom of God. So the question I have for you, who are the children in our area today? Who are those that are maybe not seen as like us, adults? Maybe the disadvantaged or the helpless? How about the homeless? How about the drunk? How about the guy coming into the church on detox? Are they the children? What are we to learn from those children? Those people are the people that our society have said have no worth. Jesus, if he were here today, would not be using a child for his example. He would be using someone else who is seen as not having worth, someone who is homeless or disadvantaged or in the DACA program or whatever other disadvantage they may have. We are called and we are challenged to see those that have not been accepted into the family, and we are called to welcome them. Yesterday, I went to the Bridges of Recovery downtown at the Monteith Park just for a quick look. I wasn't there long, but there were a lot of people there, and I had a really lovely conversation with two young men from the Oxford House, and Larry had introduced this idea of going down and visiting with some of these people a couple of Sundays ago. And these two young men said, if it would not have been for this program, their life would have been gone. They were saved by this Oxford House program. And how much more can we as Christians extend the love of God, the love of Jesus, to someone else so that they too can be saved from their circumstances? That's all I have. Thank you.